You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to bring us a Savior who is our Emmanuel. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we started off this Advent, we started it off imagining what it would be like for us to be exiles. We started it off imagining what it would be like if we were taken out of our home culture and taken someplace else, just like the just like the people of Israel were taken from where they were and taken off into Babylon. And as the gospel reading said, as they were taken there and deported into this strange place. And there was an interesting moment there as they waited there in that strange place, in that place that was called Babylon, as they yearned for an opportunity to leave that place, to go back to Jerusalem, but also knowing that they were in that place for a reason, knowing that they were in that place because they had sinned. Knowing that they were in that place because they had fallen short. Knowing that they were in that place rightfully, but that they were still looking for a rescue. Well, we've been talking about how that looks a lot like the Christian life. How that's what our Christian lives look like. And Advent kind of brings out that sense of waiting for us. That we feel like we are exiles, rightful exiles. We are exiles who are exiled because of our sins, because we have fallen short of the righteousness that has been expected of us. But we are waiting for a rescue. And we've been promised a rescue that is going to come and is going to bring us into the resurrection. And as we wait for that, we combine that waiting with this sort of sense of expectation that we have over Christmas. This sense of expectation that we have in the countdown to when we can open up presents and when we can, stop hearing Christmas music finally. Amen. And so that's what we've been talking about this whole Advent. And so here we are. We're at the end of Advent. And in a lot of ways, what we've been pointing toward in this Advent is we've been pointing toward that moment in time when Jesus returns in the resurrection. And here we are in the fourth Sunday of Advent. We don't even get a whole week of this Advent. Advent is ticking down. Its days are literally numbered. We'll gather together here on the 24th and we'll celebrate in part that Advent is over. But that might feel a little bit weird. Because in celebrating that Advent is over, there's a little piece of us that has to recognize that this thing that we've been waiting for, well, it hasn't happened yet. Jesus hasn't come back. We're not living in the resurrection. We continue to live in our exile. to bring in a waiting from another season. If you've ever been with us during our Seder meal experience here right before Easter, there's a moment when the children of the table are encouraged to go out the front doors and to see if the Messiah has come, to see if Jesus has come back. And then they come back and they go, no. And we know that he will. And we look forward to that day. But we also know that it hasn't happened yet. And that's a little deflating. Because we are looking forward to it. Because we can't exactly count down to it like we count down to that time when we open presents. But that it's this mysterious thing that we're waiting for, this thing that we recognize could happen in our lifetimes or could happen after we die. And that feels a little funny. And so we have to kind of grapple with that as exiles. Because the exiles were, well, kind of in the same place. They had a promise from God. They knew that God was going to bring them back to Jerusalem, but they didn't know when that was going to happen. It ended up that it was at least a singular generation after they had been brought into exile that they were then returned to be able to live in Jerusalem. But they didn't know that. They had to live out their lives with a promise. With a promise that, well, God was still with them. With a promise that even though they were in Babylon, that they weren't outside of the reach of God. But that they would continue to pray to this God, Yahweh. They would continue to do the things that they could do while they were in Babylon. And that's where we are as Christians as well. We recognize that there's something that we're waiting for, but in the midst of our waiting, there's also a presence that we have. Now that would have been honestly kind of a little bit strange for the religious notions of the time of the exiles. In the time of the exiles, the Babylonians and the Assyrians and those kind of folks, they would have seen gods as being sort of territorial and not sort of crossing over borders. And so in the Babylonians' minds, there was no God who was God over everything. There was no God who could see it all. There was just a local God. And if the Israelites were in Babylon, then they were under the local God of Babylon. They were no longer under Yahweh. But the exiles knew better. They knew that even in this exile, that God is with us, that he is our Emmanuel. And it's this interesting moment to recognize that, well, that's where we are as well. That we don't have a God who is distant from us, but we have a God who is there with us in the midst of the exile that we're going through. Now, the exile that we're going through, nobody is asking us to pray to Marduk, one of the gods of Babylon. Nobody is asking us to pray to the emperor. But there are things where there's pressures there. There are moments where we go, oh yeah, we're definitely in exile. There's definitely pressures that are making me feel like I have to do this thing or have to do that thing. But this notion of exile is one that doesn't just show up for the first time in Babylon. Instead, the exile really kind of shows up for the first time in the book of Genesis. Not even late Genesis, but early Genesis, like Genesis 2, where we have another sort of exile that happens. We've got Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are there in the garden. And as they're there in the garden, they find themselves in sin. They've eaten the fruit that they know that they should not have. And then what happens? Well, they are exiled out of the garden. They're told, you are kicked out. You are not allowed to come back. You are now off in exile. And there is an angel with a flaming sword to assure that they will not return until the time is right. And so they go off into exile. And this theme of exile seems to keep on repeating over and over again in the story of God's people. That they do something that they shouldn't. And then they are put out into exile until God chooses to rescue them. But God is never far from them. Even though they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God doesn't say, well, you're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, so long. We'll see you when you get back. But instead, God promises to live with them. Which I think is one of the interesting, understated, maybe not even stated things that we see about Jesus' childhood that we start to get here in the Gospel of Matthew, in our Gospel reading today, where you have this kind of weird moment. In this Gospel reading, we jump in sort of at the end of this really long genealogy that Matthew has put forward there, and I spared you that. You're welcome. Merry Christmas early. But at the end of it, we get this sort of idea, this idea that, oh, well, there were 14 generations and then 14 generations. And then Jesus is 14 generations from the return, from when the Babylonians took. So there's an end of exile. And the end of the exile doesn't look like an end of exile. Instead, it looks like, well, something else. It doesn't look like anybody is returning any place. But rather it looks like God is showing that he's present. God is saying, I'm allowing my son to be born into this world. To be present with you. No matter where you are. I think something that we don't give God enough credit for is the fact that, well, Jesus kind of looks like he's in exile for a little bit. I mean, if we sort of approximate that Jesus lived about 33 years, we also can approximate that Jesus's ministry, the thing that we mostly get in the Gospels, is about 3 years worth of content, which means that we've got about 30 years of Jesus just being present. Just being there. Being with us. If you look at the gods of the Near East, if you look at the Greek gods, you don't necessarily see that kind of thing happening. Oftentimes, they're aloof, they're away, they're kind of looking down on humanity and saying, oh, well, you know, there they are. Or maybe at the very most, they're coming in order to, you know, kind of mess with people and then run away. But not Jesus. Not Emmanuel. No, Jesus comes and he abides with us. He lives with us. According to certain translations of the Gospel of John, he tabernacles with us. He sets up a tent with us. He lives with us as God lived with his people in Exodus. And so at the end of this Advent, we have to go. We're still in exile. We have to make that call. Unless he comes back before, well, maybe midnight on the 24th, we have to say, well, he didn't come back this Advent. We're not in the resurrection yet. We're still in our exile. But he has promised that he's here with us. He's here with us in his word. He's here with us in the sacrament that we're about to celebrate, where he says that I'm there with you in body and in blood. He's here with us in his church, his body gathered together. And while our exile may continue for a little while, we know that it is not a lonely exile, but that it is an exile with our Emmanuel, our God with us. And so as you go out into the rest of this little bit of Advent, know that you have a God who is with you. Not just up in heaven. Not just waiting for a moment when the resurrection is going to come and then he'll actually be with us. But know that he is with you now. And let that be good news. Because he's with you. He's forgiving your sins. He's bringing you into sanctification. And he's preparing you for the moment when that promise will be realized in your life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.